So according to AAA, a record 115.6 million Americans are expected to hit the roads between last Saturday and next Sunday. 115 million people. 104 of them are going to use their cars. Many of those trips will be less than 50 miles, but some of them will be much more extensive. I don't know how far it took for you to get here. Some of you are from New Jersey. They didn't come this morning, but some of you are from New Jersey. My daughter goes to college in Washington, D.C. She drove up about a week ago. And so maybe you flew, maybe after you leave, maybe you're going to, I know some people that are flying tomorrow morning. They swear by it. They say, oh, it's the greatest time to fly, Christmas morning. And I'm thinking, no, that can't be true. A lot of people are going over the river, through the wood, to grandmother's house or to brother-in-law's house or to co-worker's house or friend's house. Whether you're visiting friends or family, hosting those who are coming and visiting. Part of Christmas is traveling. The first two chapters of Matthew and the first two chapters of Luke read somewhat like a travel log, that there's Gabriel traveling back and forth from heaven. There's Mary traveling to a town in the hill country to visit Elizabeth. There are shepherds traveling from their fields to Bethlehem. And there are the Magi traveling from the east to a house where the Christ was dwelling. All those traveling narratives are nothing compared to the two that I want to speak of and the two that we read about in our scripture this evening. These two entries in the Christmas itinerary shape in many ways how we are to understand what happened in Bethlehem all those years ago. And the first is that the story of Christmas, the narrative of Christmas, the report of Christmas. And by me saying story, I'm not saying that it's some sort of made up thing. It's a real story. It's a real record of what happened. But it's a narrative story. It has rich real life characters. It has a plot and a point. And one of those points of the Christmas story involves someone going home. We see that in Luke chapter 2 verse 4. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. Now some people may say the house of David, the city of David is Jerusalem, and that would be true for most of the Old Testament. Most of the time when the city of David is mentioned, they're talking about Jerusalem. But this is the town of David, the place where David's lineage lies, Bethlehem. Would have taken a 90-mile journey. They would have gone east to the Jordan River, followed that all the way down to the sea, and then cut across to the west to Jerusalem and then on to Bethlehem. 90 miles on foot. I know, we see pictures of Jesus, of Mary riding a donkey. That would have been not realistic. People didn't ride donkeys. Donkeys were pack animals. They didn't carry people on their backs. Mary, no doubt, very pregnant, walked the 90 miles, probably because of her impending delivery. They may have gotten 10 miles a day. Imagine walking for a week or more just to be counted by the government. We have April 15th where we think to ourselves, this is terrible. Why do I have to give so much to the government? Imagine not only having to give your tax or your file your census Next year is going to be a census year and someone's going to come around or you're going to fill out a form. Imagine you had to go, not where you were born, where your grandparents were born or your great-grandparents were born. You had to show up on a particular day. And now imagine that you are pregnant while this is happening. And you have no choice. You just go. They went to the village where David, their great forefather, was born in the tribal lands of Judah, one of the children of Israel. And they went to be counted. Now, I'm sure that trip, much like many of the trips we take for Christmas, Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or the Sunday after Christmas or New Year's Day, is mixed with delights and difficulties. The trip would have been grueling, would have been dangerous. The roads were filled with marauders and bandits, especially knowing that there were people that would be traveling. But being together, they experienced the joy of Jesus' arrival. Now, that record of Christmas reminds us that Christmas is, in many senses, about community, about coming together. The shepherds made their way from the darkness into the light on Christmas. The Magi made their way from a distance to see the Messiah. And we now have a longing. We even, whether it's secular music or sacred music, we have a longing to be with family. I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams. Part of Christmas involves being together with the people we love. Now, some of us, we love the people we spend Christmas with, but we are glad when it's over, but we still enjoy coming together. It wouldn't be the same if we were separated. Our family is going through transition. Our son moved to another town, and it was important to me that we spend Christmas Eve and Christmas Day together. Next year, my daughter is going to be graduated, and she may end up, I told you she lives, doesn't live. She goes to school in Washington, D.C., and it's quite possible that she may be spending Christmas in Washington, D.C., but the good thing is she's going to be teaching school. She's going to be a school teacher. So she'll get Christmas off. So even if you're working, you can still, you'll be one of the 115.6 million people driving on Christmas Eve. And since I just said that and spoke it, that now it has to happen. All these other people are thinking, his daughter better show up. By the way, you don't get gifts if you don't show up. So, much of what we celebrate tonight is about home, about being together. But there's another side to the Christmas narrative. And it's the story of a father and a son. Because the story of Christmas certainly involves someone going home. But it also involves someone leaving home. John 1:14, which was also read for us. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. As I heard on a recent, I think it was Commission, has a video promoting their ministry. There's a song in it that describes how Jesus traveled from the heavens to the hay. And I want you to think about that for a moment, if you can imagine that. Can you even comprehend what it must be like to live in heaven? We would enjoy perfect union with God. We would not be encumbered with physical restraint. I was saying to my son, as I was trying to get up off my knees when we were doing the Christmas message, that I needed help because my knees don't work like they used to. And he said, "That's because you're old." And that was unsolicited, but I will mention it right now. It's going to be nice to be unencumbered by physical restraint. That we can do whatever. Without pain. Without restriction, restraint. We will not entertain sin or suffer its consequences. Wouldn't that be nice? Some of the discord we have in Christmas is because people are not always nice. Imagine being in heaven where everyone is good. Everyone does as they should. Wouldn't that be nice? It's something we as human beings look forward to. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. I may have just made a new lyric to that, but in thinking about that, I want you now to think of giving it all up. Philippians 2 tells us that Jesus empties himself of everything and becomes human, empties himself and takes on the form of a servant. Even more so, he takes on the form of a crucified man. We may think that the lowest you can go is to be a baby. But in all honesty, the worst you can go is to be a dehumanized criminal subject to execution. That's what Jesus does for us. Jesus gave up all that he had. All that he was, all that he knew, and he made his dwelling among us. Literally, and I'm sure you've heard this before, he pitched his tent, he tabernacled, and stayed in our backyard. The term tabernacle is that earthly, mobile, highly elaborate tent where the Holy of Holies reside, where the Ark of the Covenant and the altar and the candlestand and the holy place and the Holy of Holies. It's the place where God's presence dwells. And what John says here is that Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, took on a human, earthly, mobile, physical, corruptible form for us. But being a tabernacle, being a tent, and not being a mansion, Jesus only lived with us temporarily. He knew from the beginning. He knew before we did, that he came to fulfill God's purpose. And in order to fulfill God's purpose, the record of Christmas tells us about his separation. Christmas is a story of a man, a father, who gives up his child to be raised by another. And Jesus willfully left his home and embraced a new family. Jesus willfully gave up his divinity to save humanity. And so part of Christmas involves being a part, even if it's for a short time. Because the separation that Jesus endured at Christmas anticipates our great reunion. Matthew 1:21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Before Jesus was conceived in Mary, the whole story was expressed. That this child would be the Savior of his people Israel. There was only one way to be saved, and we all know what that is. Our separation is, his separation is only to fulfill God's plan. And he came so that we would be able to return one day with him. And ultimately, maybe you are experiencing some separation this Christmas. The loved one that you have always counted on is not coming home this year. But because of Christmas, we know that those who are no longer with us, we will see them once again. Because of Christmas, our estranged loved ones will be estranged no more. The sermon in a sentence for this evening is that Jesus left his home in heaven so that we would one day return home with him. As I said, there is an old song that says, "Oh, there's no place like home for the holidays, because no matter how far away you roam, if you want to be happy in a million ways, for the holidays you can't beat home, sweet home." And I suppose that's nice. But the Bible sings another tune. Now, I can't put it to words or music, but it's this. That genuine blessing comes from the one who left his heavenly home and lived with us so that we would live with him forever. So as we celebrate Christmas, as we celebrate and anticipate that return of Jesus, let us remember that he left his home in heaven. He left the splendor of the Father's presence and became like us so that we could one day return home with him. Shall we pray?